Can we just clap our hands as we invite our beloved brother, Pastor Olumide, as he come forward to bless us with food in due season.
Shall we be on our feet, church? Put those hands together for the Lord Jesus.
Ancient
as we sing in 38, draw me nearer. How many of us want to be closer to the Lord Jesus after this program? Because our altar is an altar with fire. May the Lord hear this prayer in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Let's worship you with our hands. Come on, 1, 2. 1, 2. Come on, yes. Worship you with those beautiful hands. Oh. Let's go.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Oh, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast drawn. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, precious living sign. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thy. Oh, draw me nearer, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast drawn. Lord, to the precious living sign. Oh, the pure delight of a single heart that before thy throne I stand. When I kneel, when I kneel, and with thee, my Lord, I come you as friend with friend. So draw me nearer, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast done.
Jesus, draw me nearer, oh.
There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea.
There are
Jesus, draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
Draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the precious.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Let's have closer to him.
Yes.
Let he gently join. Jesus is mine. Reverence and attire. Oh, Jesus is
mine.
Oh, that is the wilderness. It has no resting place. Jesus alone can bless. Jesus is mine. Oh, the thoughts pass far away. Jesus is mine. Where would I ever stay?
Jesus,
Jesus,
sin perish it all.
Perishing things of this, but not for one breathing, pass from my heart away. Jesus is mine. Oh, for immortality. Jesus is mine. Welcome eternity. Jesus is mine.
Oh,
welcome, O Lord, my blessed. Welcome, sweet seeds of rest. Welcome, my Savior's rest. Jesus is mine. Talking about his good old ways, feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord.
Let's go on,
let's go on, let's go on. Talking about his good old ways.
Let's go on,
let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about his good old ways. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about the Lord.
Let's go on.
Let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about his good old ways. Let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about the Lord.
Can we put hands together for the living God? If you know that your altar is an altar with fire, put your hands together for the mighty God. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to thank my Father and the Lord for allowing me to come and exhort the brethren once again. One of the best things God can do for you is for him to give you someone that will bring out the best in you. There's nowhere I will stand to talk that I will not talk about Pastor Moses. He's not just my pastor, he's my father. So help me to applaud him once again. Brethren, there will be a showdown in Christianity very soon. There's going to be a showdown in Christianity very soon. I hope we understand what a showdown is. I saw on the news yesterday that Anthony Joshua and one Ukrainian boxer, they had a showdown. In a showdown, there can be no two winners. Only one will win. Praise God. In a showdown,
When there are two opposing views, only one will stand, the correct one. Very soon, in this faith we profess, there will be a showdown. And because there will be a showdown, we are now at crossroads. We are in a junction, a point in time, where we need to make a decision, where we need to have a bearing. Where we need to know whether I will go to the left or go to the right. Where we need to know whether I will follow party A or party B. In 2023, there will be a showdown in Nigeria. A showdown between APC, PDP, and the obedience. And because there will be a showdown, presently in Nigeria, we are at crossroads. Brothers and sisters, that is the same thing about to come up in Christianity. Praise God. Two opposing views cannot be right at the same time. Our God is not an author of confusion. If we are confused, it is not God that confused us. There'll be a showdown. The point has come in time where you need to have a bearing. Because you must understand that the church of Jesus is like the woman Eve in the Garden of Eden. Two parties are interested in the church. The Spirit of God is interested in church, and Satan himself also is interested in the church. The church is a project of God. But wherever God is, that is where you find Satan or Satan's interest. So you need to have a bearing now. Because this showdown that is coming up will bring about so many disappointments. Some time ago, some hundreds of years ago in church history, there's something that is called the Great Disappointment. It happened that some set of brethren set a date for the coming of the Lord. Sometime in 1800 or somewhere. Jesus will come so date, so time. And many people believed it. They made noise about it. They did not just believe it secretly. They spread their belief. And so they gathered together expecting Jesus to come that day. And all the press, the unbelievers that did not believe in what they believe, while watching them, let's see what will happen to these people. There was a showdown. What happened? The Lord Jesus did not come, and they were greatly disappointed. Brethren, the unbeliever on the streets is not going to be disappointed at judgment. Our pastor used to say to us, always says, that those that will cry, "Oh no, are thy known," are Christians carrying Bible, supposedly following God. You must know what you believe, why you believe it. You must be certain of your stand in Christ today. There are two spirits operating in the church. The topic of my exhortation this evening is the end time revivals. To be very brief, the end time revivals. Brothers, everywhere you go in this generation, you hear about revival, revival, revival. One day I was watching the TV at home and I saw one apostle, talking about how the apostolic revival has invaded Nigeria for the past 17 years or so. He is an apostle, a young man. There are about three of them who call themselves apostles, and they tend to say an apostolic revival has invaded Nigeria. You tune into this channel, you will hear about revival. Gospel musicians sing about revival. Everywhere, revival, revival, revival. You come among the bride, revival. You listen to Pastor Moses, revival. You go to Warri, revival. Auchi, revival. Abuja, revival. Otter, revival. Lagos Ibadan Expressway, everywhere. Revival, revival, revival. But I want you to know, all these revivals we are seeing or hearing about in this end time can be categorized only into two. We are having two types of revivals simultaneously. The true revival and the false revival. Whoever says there's a revival, don't argue with them. Say, yes, I agree with you. You are having a revival. But we will search the scriptures. Like the Berean Christians. And we will categorize your revival. There are only two revivals happening now. The true revival, which is the revival unto life. And the second is what? The false revival. The revival unto death. We are having these two types of revival in the church now. Brethren, the true revival is the revival that gives life. But the false revival is the revival that brings death. Yet, they are all called revival. To understand what makes a revival true or false, you must understand the meaning of that word, revival. When we say revival, we mean what? Bringing back to life. A restoration. A reawakening. You can only revive what is dead or almost dead. So revival simply means bringing back to life. So when we say a revival is true, that means it is truly bringing back to life. When we say a revival is false, it is supposed to be bringing back to life, but it is actually causing death. Brethren, what I'm talking about this evening is very simple. But we need to have this understanding so that we can have our bearing correctly. You cannot be neutral in the church, in Christianity now. You must take a stand. You cannot be in and out. You must take a stand now. Praise God, brethren. There are different examples of revival in the Bible. The opposite of revival is death. When something is dead, then it needs a revival. And when I look at the Bible, the source of death is whether when the word of God is taken away from the people or when the people themselves depart from the word of God. That is what brings about death. Praise the Lord. When the word of God is removed from the people or when the people themselves turn away from the word of God, it becomes death. And we see that in the Garden of Eden. God gave his word. But when man and his wife turned away from the word of God, what happened? They died. And since that time, God has been in the business of restoring back man or reviving man. Hallelujah, brethren. There are revivals everywhere. Everywhere, revival, revival, revival. But whatever revival you hear of or you see can either be true or false. There's no maybe, there's no in between. Praise the Lord. So we need to begin to look inward and look at the scripture. What makes a revival true? Because you might be rejoicing over a move of God in a particular setting and you don't know that that revival is false. And from this Bible, we have these examples clear. How people of God, in their sincerity, think they're having a revival, but God was not in it. And instead of having something to bring them back to life, it produced death for them. Praise God. Brethren, we know the story of David in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
The story of David in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Or 2 Samuel chapter 6, the rather. David was going to have a revival. In fact, David had a revival. But let us look at it. Whether this revival produced death or life. 2 Samuel chapter 6 from verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel. 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel did what? They played before the Lord on all manner of instruments. They sang beautifully. They have a powerful world-class choir. Even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And what happens? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God did what? No, you did not read it well. God did what? No, he didn't just smite him there. God smote him there for his error. Read what you're saying. God did what? Smote him there for his error. And what happened? He died by the ark of God. Imagine people coming to church, coming to serve God, and they are dying spiritually. Brethren, don't look at physical death there. We have been properly taught as servants of God in this ministry that the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of the new. Imagine we go to church and we are having service. We are gathered in the name of Jesus, praying, worshiping, singing, and we are dying spiritually. Praise God. God did what smote him there for his error. Verse 8. And David was pleased because the Lord had done what? Made a bridge upon Uzzah. And he called the name of that place what? Perez Uzzah to this day. Now let's supplement that scripture with 1 Chronicles chapter 13. It's the same account. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, so that we can understand very well. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. David consulted with captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we did what? We inquired not at it in the days of Saul. So these people were sincere. They were seeking to please God. Follow this story, brethren, as simple as it is. And all the congregation said that they would do so. Why? For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. We are still reading. So David gathered all Israel together from Sheol of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kijah-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is to Kijah-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio did what? They drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with what? They played before God with all their might. So it is not a question of lack of energy. It is not a question of lack of zeal. It is not a question of lack of seriousness. Let's read on. Let's finish it. And with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark, for the oxen stumbled it. And the anger of the Lord was done what? Kindled against Uzzah. And he did what? And he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And what happened? And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, the place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. Praise the Lord, brethren. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Hallelujah. Brethren, can we see something from this story? The people gathered to do something good. They gathered to do something that looks like the will of God. And they were sincere. They worshipped. They praised. They prayed with all their might. But yet, their gathering that was supposed to be a revival did not produce life. Brethren, this lets me know that it is not every gathering that God honors. It is not every service in the name of the Lord that God is present in. If we are going to judge a revival by the singing, if we will judge a revival by the zeal of the people, we will miss it. Like we said, the meaning of a revival is what? To bring back to life. If you can get this key, what produces life or death, if we can understand it, then we will be able to judge whether a revival is true or false. Pastor Moses preached a sermon, The Secret of Death. Brethren, the source of life is the Word of God. The source of spiritual life is the Word of God. And the source of spiritual death, the cause of it, is the absence of the Word of God. Hallelujah. If there will be a revival, if a revival will be true, it must be either the Word of God is restored back to the people, or the people themselves are restored back to the Word of God. Anything other than this, no matter the zeal, the might, the diligence in our gathering, it cannot produce life. Rather, we will gather in the name of God and we will die spiritually. Praise God. Let's see the examples of revivals in the Bible. We know the story of King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. The father of King Asa was not very spiritual, so Abijah slept with his father. And they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was what? Quiet 10 years. And Asa did what? That which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the places, and break down the images and cut down the groves. And commanded Judah to do what? To seek the Lord God of their fathers. And to do what? Do the law and the commandments. Praise God. Brethren, the emphasis in the story of Asa was that he restored the people back to the Word of God. Israel had the Word of God, the law of Moses given to them. In the days of the father of Asa, they had gone cold and they left the Word of God. The revival we see is that they went back to the Word of God. Praise God. Note this, brothers, that there is no true revival outside the Word of God. Hallelujah. We are talking of bringing back to life spiritually. A revival is not a question of whether gifts are manifesting. A revival is not a question of whether they are zealous. They can pray for 10 hours or 12 hours. A revival is judged by the Word of God. Have they received back the Word of God? Or have they come back to the word of God. Praise the living God. A revival is only true when the people are restored to the word, or the word is given back to the people. In the days of Josiah, the king of Israel, there is something very funny and interesting in the story of Josiah. Do you know that they were serving God? They were sincere. But by that time, the law of Moses was almost extinct. They did not even have any record of the law of God again. They were only serving God out of goodwill. Let's read it. 2 Chronicles 34. So that we can bring out something from it. They were only serving God out of goodwill. Doing what was good, what was right. Let's start from verse 1. 2 Chronicles 34 from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. This is the summary of his life. And walked in the ways of David his father. And declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now see verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them, he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images, he break in pieces and made dust of them. He strode it upon the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars. And did what? And cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. So did he in the city of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. Now let's go to verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joas, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Brethren, all this while, they were only serving God by tradition, by goodwill. They have not seen the law of Moses. Let's read on. And when they came to Hilkiah the priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnants of Israel, and all of Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it into the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they to build hewn stone, to buy hewn stone and timbers for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Let's move on. Let's go to verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest did what? Some people are not reading with us. Hilkiah the priest did what? Found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. All this while they were serving God without his word. They were only doing what seemed good in their sight. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to the servants, they do it. Then Shaphan and they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of overseers and to the hand of the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has done what? Giving me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, brethren. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, what did he do? He rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord, that is what? Poured out upon us. Because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Uda the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikvah, the son of Asher, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man, the king that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, what will I do? I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitant thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus said the Lord of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thy heart was tender and you humble yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitant thereof, you humbled yourself before me and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I have even heard this so, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy father, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thy eye see all the evil that will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitant of the same. So they brought the king word again. What happens after they found the word of God? All they were doing before was not bringing life to them. We just read the story together. It's very clear. They were religious. They were serving Yahweh. In fact, the Bible said they repaired the temple of God. Yet, because the word of God was absent from them, they didn't even know that judgment was already upon them. Despite their sincerity and despite their zeal for God. God in his mercy caused them to find the book of the law. And when they did, if Josiah was spiritually okay, would he have tore his clothes and cried? It was when he saw the law, he said, yea, I am finished. So all this while, I thought I've been serving God. I thought I'm having a revival in Israel. Not knowing that whatever I thought I'm having is producing death. Brethren, Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 says what? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There is a way which seemeth right. That means this man wants to do what is right. Praise God. This man, in this context, wants to do what is right. The way seems right unto him, but the end thereof are what? The same statement was made in Proverbs 16 verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Brethren, you can serve God in a way that seems right unto you, but if God is not served according to his word, it produces death. Praise God. The evidence that there is life, or whatever revival we are having is producing life, is not the vibration. Neither is it the tongues. I heard an apostle who said, if you want to hear God speak to you in a fluid manner, he said, speak in tongues for 10 hours. Then after 2 weeks, speak in tongues for 10 hours. This thing I'm saying, if you watch the video with your knowledge of the present truth, you will fall down. Praise God. There is a way that seems right to a man. Brothers, no matter the sincerity, no matter the vibration, no matter the emotion, no matter the sweetness you are feeling, evidence that your revival is producing life is that it is brought by the word of God. It is done by the word of God. It is that your worship is coordinated and orchestrated by God's word. Anything outside the word of God is death. Praise the living God. There is nothing Satan fights more. Pastor Moses will always tell us that when Satan is attacking your business, attacking you, it's not after your business. We all know that Satan can make you rich. Go and ask the cultist in the world. Let's look at the 20 richest people in the world. You cannot find a Christian among them. So we are not in Christ because we want to be rich. Satan can give you money. What Satan attacks the most is the revelation, the true revelation of the word of God. And this battle started from the Garden of Eden. God gave his own. Satan came and gave his own. Satan also has his own gospel. When God gives an instruction, what is the gospel? Any instruction that God gives for our salvation is the gospel. What is the satanic gospel? A counter instruction to the instruction we have received from God. Whether it's an addition or a subtraction from what God has given you, that is the satanic gospel. Praise the Lord. What are we saying? The revival unto life is only brought when the people are restored to the word of God or the word of God to the people. So whatever is going on in Christendom, whatever you are seeing in Auchi, whatever you are seeing in Warri, whatever you are seeing in Abuja, whatever you are seeing in Lagos, whatever you are seeing in Ota, how do you know it's unto life? Judge it by the word. Are they restored to the word? Or is the word restored to them? Revival is not speaking in tongues for 10 hours. Revival is not speaking in tongues for 10 hours. Revival is not, I'm walking power, everybody is shouting fire. No. Evidence of a true revival is that the people are restored to the word or the word to the people. The story of Josiah makes it clear. They thought they had a revival, yet judgment was passed upon them. But by the time they found the Lord, they then discovered their true spiritual estate. Praise God. Why will a revival be brought only by the word of God? Because the word of God is what will reveal to you your true spiritual condition. Brethren, you can judge yourself right before God. But if you do not look at yourself from the pages of the scripture, your judgment is wrong. The word of God is what points to us the way we should walk in. Praise the living God. All our emphasis as believers of this end time message is what? Come back to the word. God is looking for a group of people that will say, irrespective of what you are seeing anywhere, if it is not by the word, I will be no part of it. Praise God. If it is not according to the word, I will be no part of it. Because anything outside the word is death. Amen. If you can have this most basic understanding, 90% of the work of the convener of this conference is done. We are not gathered here so that Chief Apostle Moses will teach us his ways and tell us, this is how I want you to start running your church. No. We are gathered here because a true servant of God wants to encourage his brethren that, look, you must take a stand now. If your path is going to produce life, come back to the word. That is the end time message. Praise the living God. So please, let's forget about the emotional Christianity we are seeing. That people are gathered, they are singing, they are speaking in tongues. Tears are coming out from their eyes. They are zealous. They can do this for God, do that for God. That does not mean they are having a true revival. that revival can't produce life because it is not unto death. In the story we are reading, we saw it in the life of David. They were doing a good thing. They were sincere. But simply because their gathering, their service, their worship, their way in serving God was not according to the word of God, it brought death. Brethren, there's no, how will I put it? We can't play about this. It is very clear from the word of God. It is very clear. Anything not done by the formula that God has given us according to his word will produce death. How would David have felt? Pastor David gathered people together and they want to do anything. When people gather together to serve God, it is because of a goodwill in their heart. They could have gone to the court or gone to the club, but they choose to go to church. So there's sincerity and there's a good desire in them. Brothers, sincerity is not enough. If we will be saved, it must be according to the word of God. Praise God. And they gathered, and instead of them to be revived unto life, the story says that in the days of Saul, we did not inquire after the ark of God. So let's bring the ark of God. What a good idea. What a good desire. And they gathered and brought the ark of God. But their bringing back the ark, was not according to the steps that God has written in his word. And instead of them to believe in, instead of them to have a revival unto life, what happened? They died. David said, because we sought not God according to the due order. Praise God. So if a revival will produce life, it must be according to the due order. Pastors in this congregation today, how do you pastor your church? What is your stand in Christendom? What way are you following in following God? Are you following a way that seems right to you? Or are you following a way clearly spelled out in the word of God? If your way is not according to what God has given to us, your gathering, your walk, your revival is only unto death. Praise God. Praise God, brethren. This is a wake-up call. I said we are going to have a showdown soon. This showdown will occur by the time the rapture takes place. Everybody is carrying Bible. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. When the rapture will take place, those that miss it will then know the meaning of that scripture. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Brethren, let us wake up. The revival we are having in our ministries, is it really a revival unto life or unto death? It amazes me when people who are supposed to be followers of this end time message, your role models and mentors in the ministry, a denominational juggernaut. Who the most basic doctrine of salvation, water baptism in Jesus' name, they don't know. That some of us here, that is our Father in the Lord. Some people here, that is who you pattern your ministry after. I don't know how to pretend about salvation. The way that I know is right in the sight of God, and I believe it, I declare it openly. Brothers, if that is your, if you are in such a condition, I pity you. If you are in such a condition, I pity you. God is no respecter of any persons. In Isaiah 66 verse 2, he said, to this man will I look, to him that trembleth at my word. Amen. To him that trembleth at my word.
You want a revival unto life, and your ministry is patterned after people who have no respect for the word of God? Just know it. You are having a revival, quite all right, but your revival is unto death. Praise God. Praise God. The time has come, and now is, that we take a stand. Well, we will not be caught unawares. We need to have a bearing now. We need to have a bearing now. We need to take a stand now. Which way will I follow to follow Jesus? Will I follow the way that seems right to me? Or will I follow the way he has given me to follow? Praise God. Praise the Lord, brethren. The revival unto life. Earlier I said the church of Christ, there are two spirits interested in the church. The Holy Ghost and Satan. In 1 John 4:6, the Bible calls them the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Two spirits are working in the church. Two spirits are moving, operating in the body of Christ. Amen. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And brethren, these spirits do not operate in the dimension of the 9 spiritual gifts. You will not see the operation of these spirits among the gifts. You will only see the manifestation of these spirits in doctrine. Are you with me? The spirit of error, you will not say somebody is prophesying because his prophecy is true, does not mean he is working with the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. We do not see the manifestation of this spirit in the gifts. We see their manifestations in what? In doctrine. God has his gospel, and Satan also has his own gospel. The gospel of God, we produce life. But the gospel of Satan, we do what? We bring about death. Brethren, what do you believe? How do you believe? How do you follow Christ? Which way are you walking with him? Are you following him by his own gospel? Or by the gospel of Satan? Following him in his own way, in his own word, will bring life. But not following him in his own word will produce death. And some of us are sincere, but we are sincerely wrong. Matthew chapter 16. There's the story of Apostle Peter. This story is one of the most interesting stories to me in the Bible. How you can be sincere, how you can have a good intention, yet according to the Spirit of God, you are satanic. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 21. After Peter had given a powerful revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said what? Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven. So every other apostle would have been bowing to Apostle Peter. Ah, Peter and Ababa. Only Peter could answer. And Jesus endorsed him. Said, wow, you got it right, Peter. Then Jesus, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and do what? Suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Now, this is the word of God. And be killed and be raised against the third day. What happened? Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, it will not be unto you. Be it far from thee. Jesus turned and said unto Peter, what did he say? No, some people are not seeing it. Get the what? Why? For thou art an offense unto me. You are only taking pleasure in things that are of men, not in the things that be of God. What you are saying, if I will follow you by human standard, I will say you love me. You don't want me to die. I will say, Peter, you love me so much. You care about me. But if I will follow God, you are an enemy. You are an offense unto me. And then he rebuked, get thee behind me, Satan. Brethren, that's the satanic gospel. The gospel that is good before man, yet it is not the gospel of God. The word of God is typed as what? An unleavened bread. It is not sweet. If you bring bread and unleavened bread, of course, the normal bread is sweet. But the unleavened bread, you eat a particular quantity, you will lose interest. It is tasteless. God bless you. That is what the word of God is typed at. To the flesh, the word of God is not sweet. To man, the word of God is not sweet. But yet, that is the word of life. But the word that Satan gives us that produces a revival unto death, it looks good in the sight of man. Peter loved Jesus. If it is by emotion, everybody professing Christ will go to heaven. If it is by just emotion, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. If it is by emotion, oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. If it is by emotion, everybody calling upon the name of Jesus will go to heaven. But the standard is the word of God. The standard is not how you feel. The standard is not how I feel. The only standard of righteousness is what? The word of God. That is why the revival unto life must be a revival done by the word of God. The revival unto life is when the word of God is given back to the people, or the people to the word of God. Brothers, by this, we can judge every occurrence, every happening we are seeing in Christianity today. It will not be right to begin to call names, but you already know what we are talking of. The large gathering is not evidence that there's life. The vibration and big grammar is not evidence that is life. One of these three apostles I'm talking of, one of them stood up with his Nigerian mouth and said that there are things that Apostle Paul said that is not correct. And what pains me about this is that this is one of the most respected apostles in this generation. He's part of those that are shouting, revival, revival, revival. A very popular man amongst youths especially. And yet he can open his mouth and say that there are things there are things Apostle Paul taught written in this Bible that is not correct. This big apostle said he had encounters. Apostle Paul appeared to him and told him there are some things he taught that are wrong. He shocked you. Ever since I heard that thing, in fact, let me not talk. Brethren, and this man is gathering followers. When I think about him, I remember David. I remember David trying to bring the ark back. Because the ark, the presence of the ark brings about the glory. In fact, the ark to Israel is the manifest presence of God. Praise the living God. So they are looking for the glory. He wants to bring the ark. But yet, he neglected the steps that God had laid down in his word. That if you will carry the ark, carry it this way. Brethren, in the church today, glory, manifestations of the sons of God. Wow, we are walking in dominion, power. This is the manifestation. You are called this. I am a system. I am a generation, blah, blah, blah. Glory. But yet, they are going contrary to what the word of God has said to us. If it brought about death to David in David's revival, it will bring about death to them today. That kind of apostle and his followers that can boldly say, when the Bible says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Why did he say apostles before prophets? And of course, the prophets are the Old Testament prophets that prophesied before those apostles. But yet he said the apostles. The prophets prophesied. The apostles interpreted. Praise God. None of the prophets told us clearly that baptism is the name of Jesus. He took the doctrine of the apostle. In fact, their doctrine is the foundation of the New Testament church. Then Apostle Paul said, I magnify my office as the apostle to the Gentiles. Then Apostle Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Even Peter, that was an apostle before Paul, said that according to the wisdom that God gave Paul, he wrote down things. Then in the 21st century in Nigeria, an apostle that is having a revival is coming to say that there were things Apostle Paul taught that is wrong. Brethren, will that revival produce life? If I search the phone of many of us here, I will see the messages of that apostle. If I search the phone, some of us, you listen to him 10 times before you listen to Pastor Moses. I'm not a politician. Don't think I'm talking about Pastor Moses' ministry because I'm working for him or anything. No. If you find truth, follow it. Praise God. If you find the preacher of truth, endorse him, advertise him. There's nothing political about it. Hallelujah. Some of us have the messages of these apostles in our phone. People that don't even know the most simplest things, like water baptism in Jesus' name. The most simplest things for our salvation, they can't say. They are the ones that we have esteemed high. And we are so caught up in the revival they are having. Brethren, by the basis of the scripture, I can tell you that revival is unto death. There are no two ways about it. It is those that honor God's word that God honors. It is those that honor God's word that God honors. Apostle Paul already told us that the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall do what? Depart from the faith. Is fulfilled today. Praise the living God. Revival unto life. Brethren, this is a wake-up call. Know what you listen to. Know who you follow in ministry. They say, follow who know road. Not be everybody know road to heaven. It's not everybody. The Bible speaks of the blind leading the blind. He says, if the blind lead the blind, what will happen? Praise God. They will fall inside the ditch. It is not a question of sincerity. It is not a question of how good it looks to us. It is not a question of our good intention. It is a question of what does God say about it. That is how simple Christianity is. That is how simple Earlier on, when Pastor said Christianity is the most simple religion, some people would have said, eh? But it's the fact. It's the fact. What makes it difficult is because they have replaced the word of God for other things. If it will be easy to you, go back to the word of God. This is a gathering of ministers. Our hope is that after this conference, we will leave here with a fire burning in our hearts. Imagine that there are hundreds of churches around the world, like Bride Assembly. Imagine that there are hundreds and thousands of preachers scattered all over the world, like Pastor Moses. If we can get to that state, then we are sure that the rapture has started already. And that is what God has called us here for. The harvest is plenty. Laborers are few. The same Moses in the Bible complained about the same thing. And God said unto him, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, and let me take the spirit that is upon you and put upon them. Brethren, there will be transfer of spirits in this program. I'm not talking by faith. Earlier on this night, a sister in the Lord called me, who they are busy interceding for the program. And she told me what the Lord has been saying about them. What the Lord has been saying about this program. Brethren, great things are set to happen. Part of the prophecies will be that by the fifth edition of this program, we'll be doing it in a big open environment. Because there'll be no place, conducive enough to take us. She speaks of how people will live here on fire for God. But before God will take off the spirit that is on Moses and place on you, you must bring your heart to a condition that says, yes, I have decided to take my stand. I have decided to take my part in this journey of ministry. I have decided to follow the path that will bring a revival unto life. The Bible says water does not bring forth good and bitter water at the same time. You cannot be feeding from two mouths. Hearing from truth and hearing from error. That diet is unbalanced. Praise God. Positive plus negative will produce negative. It is only positive plus neutral, or positive plus positive, that will give you positive. Once there's a minus in it, it brings about negative. Brethren, ministers, the time has come. You must take a stand. You must choose the path to follow. It is simple. Is it by the word or not? Is it according to the word or not? Praise the living God. Is it according to the word? What does God say about it? What has God said about it? If we can make up our mind to follow such a path, then we are ready for a revival unto life. Don't pattern your ministry about men that are just gathering crowds. In our Sunday school on Sunday, we said it. A man that gathers 10,000 multitude and the man that gathers 10 disciples. The one that has gathered 10 disciples is better than the one that gathered 10,000 multitudes. The Bible said multitudes followed Jesus. But only 120 disciples were made. They were the ones that remained in the upper room. Where were the multitude when they wanted to kill Jesus? They were only following him for what they can get from him on everything other than salvation. But the disciples said, thou hast the words of eternal life. They were the ones that remained, and he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high. Brethren, don't look at the so-called big men of God. It might be big in the sight of man. Is it big in the eyes of God? Bring back yourself to pattern your ministry, to take your stand according to God's word. Hallelujah. That is the only thing that will produce a revival unto life. Let's quickly complete the story of David. We are using David as an example because David experienced these two revivals. In the same First Chronicles where we are reading. Now let's go to chapter 14. In chapter 13, they gathered together, but instead of them to receive life, it produced death. May our gathering as ministers not bring about spiritual death to the people in Jesus' name. There are ministries that are killing people spiritually. Like the apostle I'm using as an example. He is killing millions spiritually. There are ministries that are killing people spiritually. You gather them and all you gather them is to exercise gifts. How can the gifts of speaking in tongues, vision, deliverance produce salvation? Salvation is a function of what they hear. Salvation is a function of hearing the word of God. When your ministry is all about what the people can receive from Christ other than salvation, you are gathering them unto death. Praise God. Brethren, I pray for us once again. May our ministries not kill people spiritually in Jesus' name. Now, the same David. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 from verse 1. And David made him in the city of David, made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. And what happened? Before then, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 12. In 1 Chronicles 13 verse 12, after God has killed somebody in that church, in that gathering, the Bible says David was afraid of God that day. Now, what question did he ask? The how. How should I do my ministry? What should I preach? How should I preach it? How should I serve God? How should I walk with God? Before you run forth, ask how. Before you go forth, ask how. Please stay on that scripture. Because we read a scripture that says the way may seem right to you, but at the end, it is the way of death. So you need to ask how. And he that asks what, receive. David said, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? When you ask how, God will take you back to his word for an answer. Praise God. How is salvation? What is the process of salvation? How do people get saved? When you ask that question, God brings you back to his word. How should I do my ministry? When you ask that question, the answer is in the word. The Bible did not say an angel appeared to David and told him how. A prophet did not come to David and tell him how. It is already written and recorded. David only needed to go and search it to know what God has said concerning it. And when he asked how in chapter 15 where we are reading, his answer came. Now he knows how. Now let's see whether God honored him or not. Chapter 15 verse 3 now. Verse 2. Then David said, can you see? He has seen his answer. None ought to carry the ark of God but who? Before he just went out. See, every word of God that he says, God will back it up. None ought to carry the ark of God but who? But the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place. Can you see something? It is the same motive. Let us bring back the ark. But the difference in what? How the ark is carried. If the ark is not carried by the word of God, it brings death. But if it is carried by the word of God, then God is in that revival. He produces life. Let's read on. And David gathered all Israel, and David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, and of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief and his brethren, 120. Of the sons of Merari, these are the sons of Levi, Asaiah the chief and his brethren, 220. Of the sons of Geshem, Joel the chief and his brethren, 130. Of the sons of Eliazapan, Shemaiah the chief and his brethren, 200. Of the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief and his brethren, 80. Of the sons of Uziel, Aminadab the chief and his brethren, 112. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may do what? That ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that are prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, what happened? The Lord our God scattered our meeting, for that we sought him not after the... Let's go back to verse 13. For we sought him not what? After the due order. Praise God. After the due order. After the due order. When you speak of order, that means it must be something that has been programmed. It is not just happening anyhow. We don't follow God anyhow. We must follow him after the due order. We don't follow God anyway. We must follow him in the way that he has chosen for us. The difference between Cain and Abel was that Abel followed God after the way God chose. But Cain chose to follow God after his own self-willed way. Such that even when God went to speak to Cain, if you do what Abel did, you'll be accepted. Cain still said, no, leave me alone. This is the way I want to follow you. This is the way I want to pattern my ministry. This is the way I want to serve God. And what happened? He brought death unto Cain. Praise the living God. Men of God, praise God. We must follow him after the due order. It is not enough that it is right in our sight. What does God say? And we see the end of this revival. This time around, God himself was glorified in the revival. Before, God was not glorified. Yet, they worshipped him, they praised him, they exhibited all zeal and diligence. God was against them before. God is not looking at how many people gathered. You have the experience. Thousands are gathered to worship God. That is not a fact that God is there. The same altar where thousands are gathered to worship God, then they'll bring comedians, aproko, and then they'll use the same Bible and say all manner of things. And the same people that are worshiping God will laugh. Yet every year, there are some Christians that see it. I believe God is glorified. The experience. God is not looking at numbers. If you are looking at numbers, David's first revival would have produced life. He is only looking at the due order. He is a God of principles, a God of orderliness. If you must walk with him, you must follow him in the way he has chosen. You must follow him in the path he has charted. You don't follow God with your own terms. We are called to submit and obey. Praise the Lord. Men of God, it's time for us to wake up. Enough is enough of confusion in our ministry. Many of us are still confused. I pray and I'm sure that God will give direction to us in this conference in Jesus' name. But you are expecting a prophecy to direct you. Prophecy is secondary. The real direction is what we are hearing. Prophecy for direction in ministry is secondary. If Pastor Moses followed prophecy, there'll be no bread assembly. Because a chief prophet told him, God did not call you. If you do the ministry, it will fail. If you don't do the ministry, it will fail. You know, there are some things you will hear. I learned so much from his life. Some of us would have, a prophet told me this, and you would have backed out. But a man that is anchored in the word of God, he did not look at the vibration of the prophets. The Lord is saying, he did not look at his big title. He looked at the word of God. He was anchored. And he could judge that that prophecy was problematic. There are prophecies that are problematic. Instead of a prophecy to give light, it brings confusion and darkness. So prophecy is secondary in what we are talking. Praise God. The direction we need now, listen and receive light. So that we will live here and in our various localities, everyone will be rejoicing that I have an ambassador in this place. I have an ambassador in this place. Praise God. We are not seeking to build an empire called Bride Assembly and to have everybody come under us. No. Praise God. God will always, in the temple, when they are lighting the lamps, it is only one. The lamps are seven branches. You only turn on one light lamp. The fire passes from that one to the seven. Praise God. The 70 elders of Israel, God did not need to take them back to the backside of the desert as they did Moses. They did not need to have all the experience of 40 years in the wilderness after Moses ran away from Pharaoh. In fact, they have already received a platform. They are only to continue. He said, bring them. And I will take of the Spirit upon you and place upon them. Praise God. And the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord came down and the Lord came upon them and they began to prophesy. Praise the living God. That is what God is set to do. Such that in that locality where you are, there will be a firebrand preacher, a firebrand church, that people will not need to travel to Lagos, Ijesha, before they receive salvation, healing, or deliverance. That in your local assembly, there will be a Prophet Sunday. There will be a Prophet Jayola. There will be a deliverance minister. There will be evangelists that will turn that place upside down. That when we come, when we enter a state, we say, where are the brethren gathered in this place? As I want to tell you, the brethren are gathered here. The brethren are gathered here. And you will rush there. Brethren, it is not for us to have everywhere we are. Everybody should be connected to Bright TV. Then you're making Pastor Moses the only pastor in the whole world. Until God is able to raise up men like him, the load will continually be upon him. Brethren, this man is getting old. In fact, the man is old. Praise God. Where are the 70 elders? Where are they? Where are the 70 elders through whom God will bear the most burden of Moses? The 70 elders through whom God will lead Israel. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. That is what God is set to do in this program. But it starts with a decision. It starts with a decision. The decision is, I am going to follow God according to the due order. Don't just come to Bride Assembly and like the anointing. If your reason for being here is so that you have anointing and gift in your ministry, think again. You are not part of the 70 elders. It's like many of us did not catch what Pastor said. He said when this ministry started, it started with the teaching ministry alone. Now, if nobody came speaking in tongues and seeing vision or prophesying, he placed the word of God first. Praise God. And I remember the scripture that says the Lord was confirming his word with signs following. He placed the word first. They followed him after the due order. The byproducts are the gifts and anointing we are seeing. So it is not for you to seek the gift and anointing first. It is the due order first. Oga pastor, you say you are called, you are going into ministry. You don't even know the due order. So how can you bring about God in your revival? Praise God. We are called to come back. Let's begin to rethink now. I have followed God in this path. When God has called me to a ministry of easiness, a ministry of ease, only for me to follow him by the due order. It is time for us to begin to make changes in our ministry now. Enough is enough. The anointing will come. God is only looking for those that will place the due order first. Hallelujah. The spirit of Moses is about to move on others. But have we placed the due order first? Brother Moses will tell you that according to the due order, all the tithe does not belong to the pastor. Brother, are you here and you are still eating the money of God's people? You are not ready for the spirit upon Moses. Are we together? You are not yet ready for that spirit upon him. If you are not willing to go the way Moses went, according to the due order, please eject from this train fast. Come down fast from this train and go and enter another one. Because the spirit coming upon us is a no-nonsense spirit. One of the implications of identifying with us and you're not following the due order, the anointing we deal with is a compelling anointing. God will cause a breach upon you as he did upon Uzzah. Brethren, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of God. Some of us, the frustration in our life and ministry is because you know the due order, but you are choosing not to follow it. That's what I'm saying. Prophecy is secondary. It is a time for restoration. It is a time for us to think again. It is a time for us to make a choice. It is time for us to take a stand. Will I follow him according to the due order? Some of you, when you get home, because you will remove your wife from being pastor Mrs., you might have problem in your marriage. But will you stand according to the due order? Praise God. When you stop collecting the tithes from the people, you might not have money to be recharging your phone and DSTV again. Will you stand according to the due order? If you will stand, then that spirit upon Moses that came upon the 70 elders, that spirit upon Moses that came upon the 70 elders is ready to come upon us. Praise God, brethren. So it's a wake-up call. The time has come. Let us rise and follow him according to the due order. By his word and his word only. so that we shall have a revival unto life. Brethren, I want you to take this prayer after me. Father, redirect my path in the ministry. Any way I have erred, any way I am no more following you according to the Father, cause a U-turn now. Somebody begin to pray. Somebody begin to pray. Cause a U-turn now, Lord, that the spirit upon Moses, that spirit that came upon the 70 will come upon me.